2 years into the pandemic, most states are going mask-free. There's only one state left that still has a mask mandate in place, Hawaii, and it's set to expire later this month. The CDC also put out new guidelines that only recommend masks for certain individuals rather than mask mandates for entire communities. Some public health experts say this may have come too soon, with the possibility of new variants bringing case numbers back up. Others have pointed to the fact that immunocompromised people are still at serious risk and rely on others to stay safe. We're talking about the end of mask mandates at state and local levels, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about wearing your mask these days? Do you still wear it or not? If you do, when and where? What affects that decision? Have you put them away for now, but you're keeping them handy for what and when? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you or someone in your family are immunocompromised, have a particular risk related to COVID-19, love to hear from you as well. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Janina Smith is an associate professor in the Division of Infectious Disease at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and the medical director of the Transplant Infectious Disease Program at UW Hospitals and Clinics. Dr. Smith, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, the vast majority of states have lifted mask mandates. So have most local governments that still had them here in Wisconsin. Can you talk about that shift and what it means?
Absolutely. So we experienced one of the largest peaks of infection and unfortunately also of death over the fall and early winter. But as expected, based on how COVID's performed in other countries, we had a rapid drop. And currently, case counts in Dane County and in Wisconsin have dropped quite a bit. So in that setting of individuals either having been vaccinated and boosted or of having had COVID infection, for most people, the risk of developing COVID has gone down.
If somebody asks you now just individually, hey, doc, when do you think I ought to wear a mask? What kind of things do you tell them?
Well, I think it's very important to consider their own health status, but also the status of the community. So persons who are vaccinated, have had their boosters, are otherwise healthy, when there's low case rates, they can certainly participate in mask-free activities. I am a specialist in patients who have compromised immune systems. And for my patients, the risk is simply too great to go without a mask. So when you're considering these two things together, I do think that there are public spaces that my patients need to go to, that it is still makes sense to wear a mask in order to protect individuals who are more vulnerable. But certainly other spaces where it's much safer now to congregate without masks.
I wanted to ask you about that because you work with people who are receiving transplants. They obviously want to be very careful. How about people around them, family members, coworkers? Is this something where, you know, that 1 or 2 degrees of separation wearing masks can help help those people who are particularly vulnerable?
Absolutely. We do know that patients who have compromised immune systems may get COVID from their close contacts, so family members and loved ones. And so those people are rightly concerned about developing COVID, even that might not make them very sick, but could pass on even a fatal infection to their loved one.
Now, I mentioned changes in CDC guidelines, and that can be a little confusing to me, I'll admit, to a lot of people. I think in the latest CDC guidelines, what do you see when it comes to their priorities?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think most people heard from the CDC guidelines, quote, you don't need to wear masks anymore. And in fact, you know, if you're out wearing masks in public, people may confront you with that information. But I think it's important to know that the real truth is the CDC guidelines have changed their goal. So in the beginning, the goal was to prevent cases of COVID. And with the new guidance, that's no longer the goal. The goal isn't to prevent any cases. It's to prevent serious illness and death in the general public. So as I mentioned, if you are vaccinated, it is absolutely and boosted, it is absolutely true that your risk of acute serious illness and death are decreased. That isn't true for everyone, and that's why masks are important for immunocompromised individuals.
We're talking to Dr. Janina Smith, Associate Professor in the Division of Infectious Disease at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, Medical Director of the Transplant Infectious Disease Program at UW Hospitals and Clinics, talking about the latest advisories on masks, moves away from mask mandates at the state and local levels. You can join in with your thoughts at 800 or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Kim is with us in Madison. Kim, hi.
Hi. I'm calling specifically to talk about types of masks. My understanding is that with the infectiousness of Omicron, that a cloth mask really does nothing to stop the spread. And so it would not be worth anything for anyone to wear a cloth mask, and that a paper mask isn't that effective against these highly contagious variants. So A, if we were to go back to masking again, is the CDC going to clarify what type of mask we should wear? And B, would a good tactic be to make sure that every immunocompromised person or person at risk of being sick has a supply of KN95s or N95s for them to wear to protect themselves? Because I think people still think if they put on a cloth mask, they're protecting the people they're around, and my understanding is that now with Omicron, you really aren't doing that. And that's my question.
Kim, thanks for the call. Dr. Smith, the kind of masks we wear when we wear them.
Absolutely. The quality of mask matters. I'm not certain that I would agree that cloth mask does nothing, but I would grade it in terms of the protection provided as cloth mask under a paper or surgical mask, under a type of mask like an N95 or KN95. It is true that the gold standard of protection is a fit-tested N95 mask. And I can say personally that I have worn the fit-tested N95 mask at the bedside of COVID patients throughout the pandemic. And myself and my colleagues have not gotten COVID in that setting. And so they are quite protective. In fact, the CDC just released a study this week that showed that if you wore a high-quality mask, KN95 or N95, your risk was reduced over 80% from people who are not masked. So I do think the quality of mask matters, and it is something that we're researching within our own transplant program, whether we can provide our patients with higher quality masks. But there are programs that are available to get high quality masks through donations if they can't be afforded or purchased from reputable sources.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Dr. Janina Smith, Associate Professor at the UW School of Medicine, Medical Director of the Transplant Infectious Disease Program at UW Hospitals and Clinics, talking to us about the end of mask mandates in pretty much every state. Hawaii still has one, not for too much longer. A lot of local governments ending theirs as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or someone close to you immunocompromised? Is that affecting your decisions on mask wearing and your thoughts on whether or not other people wear masks? What questions do you have about the latest guidelines on COVID safety? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Dr. Janina Smith, Associate Professor at the UW School of Medicine and Medical Director of the Transplant Infectious Disease Program at UW Hospitals and Clinics. We're talking about why mask mandates almost everywhere have been lifted and when we still might want to wear a mask. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Good afternoon. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you. What do you want to bring up, Jeff?
I wanted to give you a report north of Highway 8 in northern Wisconsin where I deliver. I go through a lot of businesses, you know, restaurants, gas stations, grocery stores, things like that. And where places that want you to wear a mask, they'll even provide one at the customer service desk. But it seems to be a personal choice. I keep one in my glove box. So when I use my own judgment, when I go into a place, I'll wear a mask. But for the most part, northern Wisconsin is kind of like you're on your own. If you want to wear one, you can, but at restaurants, they're not required. But some places, like a dentist office, or we had the president visit last week, that was required for his visit to University of Wisconsin Superior. But otherwise, it's kind of a case-by-case basis.
Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing the report from Superior and your delivery area. Dr. Smith, for people who own businesses or run offices, things like that, what would you say to them about suggested or required mask wearing?
What I would like to see, if I was allowed to suggest to businesses, is protection in safe spaces, places like grocery stores, pharmacies, the dentist office, as he mentioned, where we do know that it protects you to wear a mask yourself, but the protection is even better when both people are wearing masks. So I would like for there to be safe spaces for my patients. On the other hand, when you're talking about wearing a mask to walk into a restaurant only to sit down and remove your mask to eat, I think that borders on ridiculous. So I agree that in those settings, it's just silly to wear a mask when you're going to take your mask off in a moment.
Jeff, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Barb in Atomahawk. Barb, hi.
Hi, I'm wondering, we have decided, the CDC has decided that masking is unnecessary, but I'm wondering if anyone is still tracing long-haul COVID symptoms from the variants that are circulating now. Is that still an issue? Is anyone tracking long-haul COVID from new disease or any of the side effects that come from COVID?
Thank you. Barb, thanks for the call. Dr. Smith, I know there's been a lot of talk about long COVID and people who had the disease, especially earlier. Still a concern, I imagine, for someone who might catch it today.
Absolutely. There's no evidence that there's a reduced risk of long COVID if you're experiencing the virus for the first time now. For example, if you're not vaccinated and haven't had prior COVID. So there's many reasons why someone may choose to still wear a mask. Of course, there's the protection of our fellow citizens, but even for protecting you, we certainly have seen individuals who had adverse effects of COVID. It's rare to get so seriously ill that you're hospitalized or die, you can still get really, really sick. And then that's not considering the consequences of long COVID. It does look like long COVID is less common if you've been vaccinated, but it still occurs. And we're still on just the beginnings of studying the impact of long COVID. And I think it's reasonable for that to be something you're quite concerned about. There's new data that's excellent, that within the first year after having COVID, the risks of cardiovascular events like heart attacks, strokes, goes way up for an entire year. There was just a publication in Nature Medicine last week that showed that there are brain changes that occur even in mild COVID. So there's plenty of reasons to not want to get COVID, even if you won't get seriously ill or die. In addition, masks are extremely effective at reducing other viral infections. We saw that when mask mandates were in place, influenza absolutely fell to the bottom. There was almost no cases and no serious consequences. I will tell you personally, I sure like not getting viral infections, not getting influenza. And so I am comfortable masking to protect myself.
Thanks for that call. Bob joins us now in Oconomowoc. Bob, hi.
Hi, love the show. My wife and I are both vaxxed and boosted, as are our son and daughter-in-law. And this weekend, we're going to visit a newly born grandson. Should we wear masks?
Bob, congrats on the grandson. But of course, that grandson, Dr. Smith, can't be vaccinated under age 5. What are your thoughts for Bob?
Well, I have one great piece of news to Bob, is that his daughter or daughter-in-law, by vaccinating herself prior to delivering that newborn, has really done a great thing in terms of protecting the baby. Mothers pass antibodies from vaccination, both through their placenta and then through their breast milk, and so the baby will be more protected. I would say another option is to get an over-the-counter antigen test and test yourselves on the morning of your visit. If you're negative, it's very unlikely that you would transmit the infection to the baby during that same day.
Thanks a lot for that call, Bob. I wanted to take a few moments, Dr. Smith, to talk about the patients you work most directly with, people who are receiving transplants. Can you talk a little bit about why they are particularly vulnerable to COVID, even if vaccinated?
Yeah, so the medicines that we give patients when they get a transplant are intended so that their immune system can't make new reactions to new foreign invaders. This is because we don't want their immune system to recognize the transplant as something foreign and something that needs to be fought against. But unfortunately, our medications aren't specific just for the transplant, and they do make it so that the person can't fight other new foreign invaders very well either. And so it's something that we're doing on purpose to their immune system. But then when we give them a vaccine, their immune system doesn't have as robust a response. In fact, in some cases, doesn't have much of a response at all. Now, to combat that, we've done a couple things. We've increased the number of vaccines. So, for example, for most immunocompromised patients, the current recommendation is 4. So 3 vaccines as part of the primary series, and then a 4th vaccine. But because they aren't able to mount an immune response, when they get COVID, the odds of something bad happening, very bad, go way up. So we know from the largest study, which was 1,800 individuals after transplant who were fully vaccinated, the risk of developing COVID was increased by 80 times. But the worst part is that if they got COVID, they had a 50-50 chance of winding up in the hospital and a 1 in 10 chance of dying. And so that's the reason why, you know, I do urge people to consider that when, even though they may not get very sick themselves with COVID, even though they may not get long COVID, they could actually kill one of my patients.
And Dr. Smith, in our last few moments, as you mentioned earlier, the COVID trends, the numbers are looking pretty good right now, but we've been here before. Do you have concerns just briefly about the potential risk of new variants coming along?
I do, unfortunately. What we've seen in China and Hong Kong and in Europe is that there's been the emergence of the second Omicron variant, the BA2, which is causing increased caseloads and in some cases, severe illness and death. While we don't know for sure that we'll see a similar surge, and there's some reasons to think we might not because of our very severe original Omicron surge, there's still concern because we have tended to mimic Europe through most of these outbreaks.
Dr. Smith, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for bringing up this important topic.
Dr. Janina Smith is an associate professor in the Division of Infectious Disease at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and medical director of the Transplant Infectious Disease Program at UW Hospitals and Clinics. She talked to us about why most states have lifted their mask mandates.